Salt, will ya?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will ya pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'd just like to say, as we start off here Monday morning, to all the God haters out there, thanks for tuning in. You know, folks, I'm hearing from them more and more and more on my Facebook page, on my email. In fact, you'd really know that the pigs are starting to squeal when they start to hit your email. And so those mud packers, they're starting to email me now. So I know something is going on, that somewhere, somehow, this program is beginning to gig them in the ribs a little bit, and they don't like it. What was it I told you? That when you throw a rock into the middle of a bunch of pigs, you know the one you hit's the one that starts to squeal? Well, we got some squealing pigs going on here. And in the honor of those squealing pigs, I thought I would come in here today with my Cal Berkeley shirt on. Cal Berkeley, which is the center of God, I Hate God education. Cal Berkeley, San Francisco. In honor of all you dudes, I want you to know that I'm wearing this thing today, and I'm here this morning to poke you in the eye. So, hey, thanks for watching Daily Kos. I don't know if you guys know this or not. Daily Kos, K-O-S, is it's like the left's Drudge Report. Every far left wonk, they're all there. They're all Daily Kos. Well, they did a nice article on me this weekend. So that led to a lot of good stuff on our Facebook page that we're going to show you today. Listen, I don't ever want to make it about me. I don't ever want to be a guy that sits back here and says, talent on loan from God. And I don't ever want to be one of those guys. I just want to be kind of I want to be a chef. I want to stir the broth. That's all I want to be able to do. And let all of you dump a little bit of stuff in there and see what comes out on the other side. I want to thank Pastor Wayne for the great job that he did last week as far as prepping. And I got a lot of response from that, Wayne. I got a lot of people who sent me emails and suggestions and links and plans that they've made up. So it's good. People really want to know what's going on. They really do. And this is going to surprise you. Some of them are churchgoers. And they were concerned because they're not hearing about it in their church. And they really appreciated the fact that we would bring it to the table. We went to Mount Vernon, Ohio, and stood against the God haters. I got a President Donald Trump cup that somebody brought me. But I want to keep this very, very clear. It ain't about Donald Trump to me, okay? Because when I was out there preaching at those God haters, that's one of the things they always ask. And you'll see it here as we get into some of this stuff today. How can a guy like you, who says he's a Christian, support such an evil man? I hear that a lot. And I say, I don't support the evil man. But I started off my street preaching in Mount Vernon on Saturday, said, thank God Hillary's not president. I'm here today to celebrate the fact that wicked witch isn't in the White House and the Muslim freak isn't in there either. That's where I started. And I don't, you know, if we could talk about voting the lesser of two evils, baby, I'm telling you, we got the lesser of two evils, and it's so far it's playing out pretty good. Now, again, we don't know how this thing's going to end. So as I sit here today, I don't know if it was a good draft choice or not. I don't know if Donald Trump was worth the number one draft pick or not. We'll find out as it goes down the road. But here in training camp, he seems to be doing pretty good. And I continue to be amazed at the number of Christians. I'm going to go here. Hang on. Buckle up. Right now, all of you, buckle up. Give me 5 minutes. Christians are mad, and I'm going to tell you why they're mad. The never-Trumpers in particular. I'm going to say this again. I serve Jesus Christ. I don't serve Donald Trump. Okay? I ain't here singing the praises of Donald Trump. Something's going on through Donald Trump, and I rejoice in that because God's in control of all that. But here's what's going on. A lot of the people who should be on our side, whatever that means, on our side, they are against Donald Trump. Can I tell you why they're against Donald Trump? Because they're full of pride. Dare I say this? They backed the wrong horse. Now, this is really easy to do. I don't know if you guys have ever tried this or not. My wife gets mad at me, and she tells me something, and I don't listen to her advice, and she ends up being right. I don't sit around and hope her plan fails. I do this. It's really, really hard. But I go to her and I say, honey, I'm sorry I was wrong. Please forgive me. I'm sorry I was wrong. Please forgive me. And I look at the people who are supposed to be on our side, and they're afraid at this point to say they're sorry that they were wrong. They don't even have to ask for forgiveness. But there are people out right now who are hoping Donald Trump fails. And let me connect a dot to you. Number one, they're hoping he fails because they backed the wrong horse. That's a different issue. Number two, can I give you the real one? What if Donald Trump is successful? What if America rises from the ashes and the rapture doesn't come? What are they going to do? They have built their entire existence on the rapture. I'm not here to argue it one way or another. But I hope for the sake of my children and grandchildren. You know, the scripture tells us the day of our death is better than the day of our birth. So I'm not afraid to die, and I don't want to die right now. I'm having fun doing what I'm doing. But if I die, I think it's better. I think it's a promotion. And so if somebody drops a nuclear bomb on us, I think it's probably a promotion for those of us who are saved. A lot of other people are going to perish, right? But this idea that the rapture is going to rescue all of us out of this, that's neither here nor there with me. But those who've been riding hard on that, saying, it's coming soon, he's coming soon, look at this, it's coming soon. Boy, if America would turn around, that would kind of kick that theory in the teeth, wouldn't it? So I'm hoping, nevertheless, thy will be done. All right? If the rapture's coming, then God's going to make it come. I'm not going to try to speed it up. You get what I'm saying, Rich? We got people out there trying to speed things up. They want it to get worse so Jesus will return. They're trying to speed it up. And I'm trying to hold it back. The scripture says that there's one that's letting, there's a restrainer that's holding it back. We'll know when it's time. But I do want to assure you this. We're not heading into hunky-dory land. We ain't about to go to Disney World. Things are going to get really, really tough here, man. The enemy is amping up like we have never seen. And we have to be aware of that. And that's why I pulled out today Psalm 2. It's one the Lord gave me just before I walked down here this morning, Jared. I'd like to start out with it. Psalm 2. Because this is what we see going on. Are you with me? Great question to start out. You watch what's going on around America. Hey, Wayne, here's a good question. Why do the heathen rage? Because they are, aren't they? Are the heathen ever in a rage or not? So why do the heathen rage? Notice this. He separated heathen from people. Why do the heathen rage and the stupid people imagine a vain thing? In other words, why do the heathen rage and the people don't get it? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. There's that conspiracy theory. Against the Lord and against his anointed. So get the picture again. What's going on? Kings of the earth have set themselves and the rulers are taking counsel together against the Lord and those of us who are fighting on his behalf. Is this pretty clear, Rich? Sarge, am I doing okay so far? Just reading this thing here and trying to interpret it as written. Tyrell, am I doing okay down there in Kentucky? Coming across pretty clear. Okay. But look at this. Let us break, huh? Hey, Rich, let us break their bands. Huh? Doesn't say, let's pray they get saved. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. What do we mean, their cords? What does a cord do? Pastor Wayne, what does a cord do?
Hold you back.
Connects you and holds you back. So what's holding us back? The heathen who are raging and are counseling together, and they're holding us back. And it says, let us break those bands. Tyrell, I ain't never been to Bible school, but this is pretty clear to me. This isn't even hard, reading what this thing says. Oh, wait a minute. It is Old Testament. It is Old Testament. Maybe that won't work. But then I like this part. He that sits in the heaven is doing a victory dance. He that sits in heaven is laughing. He that sits in heaven is scoffing. He that sits in heaven is spiking the ball. What else could you say? The Lord is laughing at them. Why? Watch it, boys. Because the Lord shall have them in derision. Hey, Raj, is the left in derision? Today, as we look out on the landscape, is the left in derision? Yes, they are. Then, after he gets them in derision, follow it now. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath. He ain't going to speak to them in his love, is he? He's going to speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Not just his displeasure, but it's been an oozing sore. It keeps opening up. And he's sick and tired of that thing not healing. He's going to vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Here we go, Rich. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, Rich, and I'm going to give you the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Why are we so convinced that this world belongs to the devil? Why do we act like this is the devil's world? You shall break them with a rod of iron. Wow. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Time out, time out, time out. Hey, Rich, help me out here. We got two actors in this psalm, right? Somebody help me here. We got the heathen who are conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. And then we got those of us who he has said he is going to give them the inheritance. Are you with me, Rich? Do I have this spelled out right? Does it say that they're going to crush us?
No, and I've been saying for a long time, they are God's comedy club, and they ought to be ours as well.
That's right. He's laughing at them, right? He's laughing at their futility, see? What? Hey, Rich, does it verse 9, somebody help me out here, Tyrell or Sarge, somebody help me. Let's see here. Verse 9, is this what it says? You shall go out and get them all saved. Is that what it says? No. It says you shall break them with a rod. Who shall? Who shall? Thou. Who's that? That be me and you. Thou shall break them with a rod of iron. Thou, that be me and you, shall dash them in pieces like potter's vessel. That be us. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Wow. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Does that sound like we're going to lose? Now, wait a minute. Does that sound like we're going to lose now? Right now, does it sound like we're... Huh? Doesn't sound that way to me. David wrote that. David wrote that song. Okay, okay. Anybody want to jump in here real quickly? That took 15 minutes to kind of lay the groundwork there. Anybody? Because I got a million things to go to today. Always like to give you a chance to jump in. All right. Let me go to this real quick. Daily Kos. Jared, you see that link there? Click on the Daily Kos. Now, guys, this is, listen, I'm not bragging, okay? I'm not patting myself on the back. I want to show you something, that the heathen are raging, okay? The heathen are raging, and the pigs are squealing. On this show last week, Thursday or Friday, I don't remember where it was. First of all, they call me a Trump fanatic. Do you see that? Those of you who watch this show know I'm not a Trump fanatic. But anyway, in an off-the-cuff comment, I said to Rich, talking about the Muslim in chief, I said to Rich, somebody ought to grab some pitchforks and some torches or something along that line. Just kind of a throwaway line as I do when I'm doing the show. And so look what they do. This appeared, by the way, on Right Wing Watch, which is kind of the minor leagues. The Daily Kos, that's where every God hater, that's the Bible of every God hater, the Daily Kos. We made the Daily Kos, boys. And what's it say? Trump fanatic publicly encourages lynch-style arrest of Obama with pitchforks and torches. No, I didn't. I didn't. But you understand why this is so important, see? They want to tie Trump, Christians, to violence and Nazism and lynchings. And see, they want to take pitchforks and torches. Obama is what color? That's right. 50% white, 11% black. Check the statistics. They want to make lynching, right wing, Nazis, pitchforks, violence. And all you got to do is watch what's going on. And it's not us with the violence. It's not us. Rich, is there any doubt in your mind that if they could, they would kill Trump today? Is there any doubt in your mind? Anybody's mind? Remember this, the left will always accuse you of what they are doing. Always. Okay? Trump fanatic publicly encourages lynch-style arrest of Obama with pitchforks and torches. All you got to do is go back and listen to that show. That's not what I said. And I would say it again today, that in times of our forefathers, back in the 1700s, this would have already happened. Think so? Yes or no? Huh? Yes? What do you think the American Revolution was about? So I want to show you something else. I got a whole bunch of other stuff I was going to talk about today, and I came down when I logged on here today, and the webmaster, Jared, said, Coach, have you seen your Facebook page? And I said, well, yeah, I check my Facebook page all the time. He said, no, the show Facebook page. I said, I haven't been there. Jared, let's go there. Let's go to my show Facebook page, because I didn't know it till Jared saw it. And then look at all these commentary. Now, Jared, here's what I want us to be able to do here. Guys, I want to teach us all a lesson today, okay? Jared, let's pull one of them up there. These are comments that people put. 1,300 people watched this. Is that good or bad? That's pretty good, isn't it? Just on Facebook, 1,300 people. I'm trying to show those of you who aren't familiar with Facebook, it says right there, 1,376 people reached. You see that? There's more than that probably. And then trolls begin to weigh in. Trolls. I'm going to show you how I know they're trolls, okay? Let pull that up there. Here's what Heita Machaya. Does that sound like a real name to anybody out there? Here's what Heita Machaya said. Shame on you, son of Satan. You have nothing whatsoever in common with true Christianity or a faithful believer of whatever creed. As a matter of fact, You hate mongering, and evil thoughts and words are despicable, and you should go to prison for inciting murder. You totally and absolutely disgust me. Phooey, this good Christian Haida Machaya says to me. So, you want to know how you figure out whether people were trolls or not? Well, let's click on Haida Machaya. Let's click on her name there real quick, Jared, to see who she is. She joined into, look at her friends. Look at the friends. There ain't no friends. She ain't got no friends. Do you see that little purple dot there? Friends, none. Ain't no friends. There ain't no friends. Occupy Democrats. She throws stuff up there. This is a troll, probably a paid troll. Let's go to the next one. Jared, let's go back. Folks, do you realize that they want to come on? See, they want to come on to our platforms and cause dissension, cause a mess, and just try to stir it up. So let's go to William Eben. Now, I feel bad about, look what he says. Osama bin Laden is dead. Now, when's the last time somebody heard me talk about Osama bin Laden? Under President Obama, our SEAL team carried out that mission without a single casualty. President Obama is clearly one of the most intelligent persons to ever hold that office. But you can't find a single example of him ever to ever say, or going down through. You can read all down through there, pumping up President Obama. I am President Obama. Huh? Dave. Click on William Eben. Let's see how many friends he has. Yeah, Raj?
Well, here in Columbus, Ohio, and maybe other Huddle members.
Well, he has 139 friends. Let's go to the next one, Jared. Go ahead. Go ahead, Raj. I'm sorry.
No. Here in Columbus, Ohio, Talk Radio 610. If you listen to it on Saturday mornings, which is their talk-in show, it is now about 50-50 progressive liberals and conservatives. When it used 80-20. They've overwhelmed that station. They're probably doing that on all talk stations now.
That's right. Well, and can I tell you why part of that is? Because we have such weak people fighting back. Weak people. If this was on terrestrial radio, this program right here was on terrestrial radio, does anybody doubt there would be 10,000 people following us every day? If I could broadcast out over Columbus, Ohio, can you imagine the people that we would draw? Let's go to Elaine Stencil. How many friends does she have, Jared, down there at the bottom? Why, Elaine doesn't have any either. Impeach Trump now, Elaine Stencil. Trudeau and see what's good. You guys get what's going on here? Okay, Jared, let's go back to the homepage. I'm going to show you something else here. I got to get on here more and more. Let's go down, Jared, right here. Visitor post. Look at this. Alan Wilkes says, your president has this much intelligence, but it's an awesome picture. I don't know what that is. What a piece of crap. You claim Christianity and your pros prove you're not. And on and on and on. Wayne, Pastor Wayne Martin. Now they graft you a little bit too, Pastor Wayne. Hey, guys, these are paid trolls. Now, we better come to the realization that, click on that again, Jared, that this matters. Social media matters. Look at that. You are a flaming a-hole, Peter Collins. Thanks, Pete. Ken Osterhage. One of the Christian Taliban, O ye Pharisees and hypocrites. Darlene Susan Freeman Wilson says, you should be turned into Homeland Security. Let's click on her a second, Jared. Let's see where she's from. Darlene Susan Freeman Wilson. Let's see how many friends she has. There she is. Oh, she's scary. She has 154 friends. Huh? See, so understand, these guys are organized. And then, I didn't even give you, remember I showed you, I am linked to a website called Somebody's List. I don't remember. And it shows us exactly what's going on the left. The heathen are raging, and the people are imagining a vain thing. Somebody jump in here real quick. I'm going to shift gears on us. The Daily Coast, the Right Wing Watch, are becoming our biggest promoters. The God haters are watching us. Hey, Rich, does that scare you? Anybody backing down because they're watching? No, me either. Had an incident in Mount Vernon, had another Christian lady come up and tell me that my approach wasn't very Christian. Except I found out as I continued to talk with her, she was raised in a Nazarene home, not a believer anymore. But in the religion she was raised in, the Christianity that she grew up in, I was not going to be very successful with my techniques. And the religion that she grew up in, she doesn't even follow anymore. What's that tell you? That's what, I mean, it's laughable, isn't it? It's laughable, some of the stuff that we see going on. So we are being controlled. We certainly are being controlled. Let me get my feet under me again here, Jared. We're being controlled, whether we see it, know it, or not. Now, I want to pull up something else here. This is very, very good. Jared, the first one, a divided America. This came from Business Insider. 11 nations of the United States. This is can you all see the screen okay? Jared will get it up there for us. It's connecting to it right now. We are a divided nation, right? We used to be what was the common bond that held us all together? Can you make that picture in bigger, Jared? I don't know if you can. What was the common bond that held us all together? It was our common culture. It was our Christianity. Now, I don't want you to have to go down and read all this. But this is really, really kind of neat to show you. These are now the 11 states, if you would, in America. You see up at the very top, they call it the Midlands. Hang on there, guys, because I'll explain to you what these all mean. And Jared, just keep that picture there. Don't go to the other part because I want them to have the big picture that they'll continue to see it. Bear with me, guys. Okay, here we go. He calls Yankeedom. Let's start there. Yankeedom. Do you see that? That's like, Kevin, that's from like just below you down around New York. Yankeedom is the entire north of New York City, parts of Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Yankeedom values education, intellectual achievement, communal empowerment, and citizen participation in government. And it isn't amazing this area was settled by radical Calvinists. Yankeedom. The next one is what he calls New Netherland. You see that there right below, right where New York would be? New Netherland is a highly cultural environment. It's materialistic with a profound tolerance for ethnic and religious diversity, an unflinching commitment to the freedom of inquiring conscience. It's a natural ally with Yankeedom, and encompasses New York and Northern Jersey. So that's a culture of people that are there. The next one they talk about, the Midlands. Do you see that? The Midlands, by the way, Ohio, where we are, is kind of caught right in the middle. The Midlands is New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, Iowa, Kansas, and Nebraska. It was settled by the Quakers. And the Midlands are a welcoming middle-class society that spawned the culture of the American heartland. That's where it all came from. The Midlands, okay? And then we have Tidewater. Look down there, Tidewater, down along Virginia. I don't want to bore you with all these things, okay? Reading them all to you. But if you have, when you guys look at this link, this is going to really, really make some sense to you. The Far West, and explains what the Far West is all about. The Greater Appalachia. Let's go there because that's some of us, Raj. Greater Appalachia was colonized by settlers from the war-ravaged borderlands of Northern Ireland, Northern England, and the Scottish Lowlands. Greater Appalachia is stereotyped as a land of hillbillies and rednecks. Woodward says Appalachia values personal sovereignty, individual liberty, and is intensely suspicious of lowland aristocrats and Yankee social engineers alike. So there you are, Greater Appalachia. And isn't it amazing, if you look there at Ohio, Roger, Greater Appalachia, see that little hunk in there? That comes up to us. Columbus, Ohio, Lancaster, all down through there, that begins Greater Appalachia. Isn't that amazing? And then they show us the deeper South. The deeper South. And what's it say about the deep South? It's very rigid social structure and fights against government regulation that threatens individual liberty. And then we move out, we see El Norte, which is it's been taken over by the Hispanics, the Far West. It includes Anchorage and Fairbanks and up through Alaska and then the left coast. So we are already a divided nation in more ways than we understand. And that's why Kevin Sarge just put down there on the side, lost. Hey guys, how do we ever bring this group of people back together? How do we ever do that? Sarge, they say you're up in what they call New France. Let me see. What do they say about New France, Cliff? They got the left coast, New France. I encourage you guys to look at this thing on your computers later on. Sarge is up in New France. I'm trying to see what it says about you guys, Sarge. Maybe that's up in Quebec and all that kind of stuff. Perhaps that's what it is. What was the common bond? What's always been the common bond? What's always been the common bond? What's language. Always held all of us together?
Language.
And religion. Christianity. We all shared the same faith. And now in our multicultural environment, look at what's happened to us. Profound picture, isn't it? Anybody want to comment there before we move on to something else? All right. I want to go to Melania. Jared, did you guys see Melania pray at the Donald Trump's event on Friday? And I got into a little tussle last night here in my own family. My daughter, God love her, she's spunky. She said to me, "Are you insinuating that Donald Trump is a Christian?" Well, there we go. I said, no, that's not what I'm insinuating. Somebody help me here. Let me put thumbs up here. You ready, Wayne? Everybody put thumbs up. Has anybody, here we go, put your thumb up now. Anybody ever heard Michelle Obama pray in public? Thumb up if you have. Michelle Obama, no. Have you ever heard Barbara Bush praying? No. Have you ever heard Hillary Clinton pray in public? No. Nancy Reagan, she certainly did, didn't she? Lady Bird Johnson? Jackie Kennedy? Huh? Gerald Ford's drunk wife, what was her name? Betty Ford? You ever heard any of them pray? And so I show this. I said, listen, I don't even care if she's faking it. I don't even care. Doesn't Michelle Obama know how to fake a prayer? Couldn't Hillary fake a prayer? And then people say, well, coach, she's reading it. Yeah, she speaks five freaking languages. Do you suppose when Melania Trump sits around her house and prays, does she pray in English? Does she pray in Russian? Does she pray in German? When she is praying to the Lord, in her mind, what language is she speaking? So here she is speaking five languages, standing. Hey, Rich, if she'd have done this by heart and had messed up, I suppose people would have just ignored that, wouldn't they? They'd have just ignored the fact that she said the wrong word at the wrong time. Huh? So to make sure that she didn't say the wrong word at the wrong time, she read the Lord's Prayer. Now, here's where she can trump Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama could probably do it in Swahili. I don't think Melania can do it in Swahili. Melania has five other languages that she would do it in. But she reads this Lord's Prayer.
You plagiarized again.
Yeah, and accuse her of plagiarism. She plagiarized the Bible this time, right? And I tried to calm my daughter last night, down my daughter last night at the table, and said, honey, listen, you're missing the whole point. It's not about the prayer. JR, what's it about? Help me out here, JR. It's not about the prayer. Somebody help me out here. What's it about?
Honoring God.
Honoring God, inviting the Christian God back into America. That's the way I heard it. I don't even care if she said it in German. I don't even care.
God.
Barbara Bush didn't do it. Laura Bush didn't do it. Nancy Reagan didn't do it. Obama's wife didn't do it. You ever heard Obama pray in public? So I just want you to watch this, because I got to tell you, I got spiritual goosebumps. Rich, not because she's praying. Do you understand, folks? Do you understand? Not because she's a good Christian woman, although she might be, I don't know. You know, they say this, that Donald Trump's life changed when he married Melania. All that fooling, running around corrals and stuff stopped. When you go back and look at all the stuff they talk about, you know, the P word and all that stuff, that was all pretty much pre-Melania. So there's something seriously deep inside this woman. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's Christianity. Couldn't tell you. But watch this clip. Yeah, Rich.
Truth known, most of the Christians sitting in church would have to read it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's
and
it.
The Legions and the Star Spangled Banner.
You're right, Roger. Hey, Roger. Had a great running back at London years ago, 1995. He sent me a Facebook message. He's doing pretty well in his life. Praise the Lord, because he came from a troubled family. I won't tell you who it is. But, you know, he sent me a Facebook post. I was, you know, I put a lot of stuff up. And he Facebooked me. You know what he said? He says, Coach Dobb, I know you got in a lot of trouble for praying when you were here at London. But I want you to know that today I know the Lord's Prayer because you taught it to me. And not only that, Coach, my kids know the Lord's Prayer. And I want you to know that all of your efforts were not in vain. Now, is that unbelievable? Because I would find out when we would gather our kids to pray, a lot of them didn't know the Lord's Prayer. They did not know the Lord's Prayer. And Roger, you're right. Rich, you're right. Most people would have to read it, right? Let's listen to Melania. Hey, guys, we do not, I'm telling you, the heathen are raging. They are so mad. If Obama had talked about the wonderful sound, the most beautiful sound in the world is the sound of that horn in the morning or whatever, the call to prayer in the morning. He said it was the most beautiful sound in the world. When he says that, everybody applaud. Yeah, 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 yeah. Melania says the Lord's Prayer. Oh, she read it. She doesn't even mean it. This is a separation between the church and state. How dare she? This isn't a Christian country. On and on and on. Let's listen to this. Time out.
Thank you.
Stop a minute, Jared. Hey, look at her. Man, the White House is much more beautiful than it's ever been. Would you all agree with that one? Huh? We don't have to ask ourselves any question as whether she's a man or not. I can tell you that. If somebody told us she was a man, we would say, you're full of it. You're full. I ain't no man. Go ahead.
Thank you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You can stop it, Jared. Hey, guys. Do you know that Melania Trump just read to the world not only the Lord's Prayer, the very words of our Savior? She read them to the world.
Unbelievable.
Did you say that, Roger? It is unbelievable. See, we can't see. We Christians are so blind. Did she mean it? I don't know. But I know this. The words of Jesus Christ went out of her mouth to the world. Thank you, Jesus. And we don't see the significance of it. Hey, Kevin said the Pope isn't even doing it. You don't even hear the Pope doing it. Amen, Sarge. That's a good one, Sarge. You're on top of it. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. All right. What I want to do, I want to do this, Rich. I got still 1,000 things over here I want to talk about. Anybody want to jump in here before I play a little video? Anybody want to react? Please do.
I just want to say that there's going to be a lot of people who are going to complain about that small little speech that she gave and the prayer, because they can't stand those words to be heard, just like in Matthew 8:31. You know, why are you coming to get us out of here before our time? Send us to the swine and pigs. We don't want to leave. That's what exactly she did.
It is, brother. It is. It is. It is. And we know this, Sarge. We know that there are a lot of people who are saying the Lord's Prayer who don't mean it. They don't mean it. Jesus Christ, if we were turned to the Lord's Prayer, does anybody know where that is off the top of their head? Pastor Wayne, do you know where that is in the scripture? I'm putting you on the spot there.
Matthew 6.
Matthew 6. Thanks, Tyrell. Let's go there.
Matthew?
Yeah, 6. Now, I want you to see something, because I feel like getting mad, Raj. I'm not going to, but I feel like it. In my Bible, in my King James Bible that I got before me, and in what Jared's got flashed up and up there, I want you all to see it. Those words are in red. Right there in red. What does that mean, Rich? When the words are written in red, what does that mean?
Lord himself spoke them.
The Lord himself spoke them. Take heed that ye do not your arms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Yada, yada, yada. But verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father who art in heaven, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Somebody help me out. Are those words also written in red? Did or did not Melania Trump speak the words of the Lord when she stood before that crowd? She did, brothers. You can call it a prayer if you want to. I don't care what you call it. She spoke the words of our Lord to the world.
Wow. They
Yep.
Wow. I don't even know what to say. What a program this morning. Praise be to God that we gather and share these things, and the millions need to hear it.
Can I tell you something, Roger? To most people, the Lord's Prayer is just a prayer. It's just a prayer. But no. It's the words of the Lord.
But the key coach that is brought this morning is what was brought out. It's Jesus' word. I don't care if I read it.
That's right.
No, it is put out there. Our Lord Jesus, you know, wow.
Hey, Roger, he is the word. He was brought out there. Go ahead, Wayne.
Well, I was just going to say, and you know this, it's sharp, it's powerful, and people were squealing when they got hit.
Oh, buddy.
It doesn't matter who says it or reads it. It's him.
Amen.
It's the word of God, and they don't like it. Why? You know why. They don't like it.
That's right.
There was nothing convicting about that prayer. It was just the words of Jesus.
Just his words. Wow. And Boy, did it tick them off. Boy, Rich, did the pigs start squealing. Hey, Rich, some of our team squealed.
Hey, right? Can I say it's because they're enemies of Christ? There's, yep, there's no way around it. And anybody that can be have an issue with those words coming out of anybody's mouth, there's something seriously wrong with them.
Rich, I could. I.
And amen.
It's a, can I tell you what it is? You have to go back a few programs. You got to go back 6 months, maybe. It's the leaven of the Pharisees. And what's the leaven of the Pharisees? I'm more righteous than you. How dare she say our prayer? She doesn't even believe it. Well, dude, when's the last time you stood in front of a bunch of people and said it publicly, Mr. High and Falutin Christian? She could have just stepped up there and said, can we have a moment of silence? Let's have a moment of silence. Pray to whatever God you feels inside you. Pray to whatever God you want. No. She said, our Father, which art in heaven. She spoke the words of the Lord. Hey, Wayne, this kind of stuff keeps up. There ain't going to be any rapture real soon.
Beautiful Christian.
That's what people are worried about. Hal Lindsey's written all those books. What's he going to do? John Hagee? Oh, my goodness. What's John Hagee going to do if God shows mercy to us? This is good, isn't it?
You know, when it comes down to he who is not with me, in other words of the Lord, he who is not with me is against me.
Right. Yep.
She's clearly with him. If she's standing up there speaking these words, I don't know how you take it any other way.
I don't. Rich, did Barbara Bush do this? Laura Bush? Do you think this was by accident? They said, well, they're just doing it just to appease those Christians. Really? So in other words, the Lord lied. His word is going to return void. See, we think the one who says the word matters more than the word. I don't happen to agree with that. Okay, good stuff today. I got to make sure I get allow myself 6 minutes here. Okay, Jared, pull up letter to Rick Warren. I claim Don Boys as a friend, although not a good friend. I mean, not a good friend in that we're close friends. I know Don Boys. Don Boys wrote an open letter to Rick Warren, and Rick Warren got kind of mad. He never responded to Don Boys, but he responded to somebody who knows Don Boys. And Rick Warren said, oh, he's, look at verse paragraph 4. I'm going to take you down through this very quickly. Don Boys says, I'm thrilled that you've baptized 46,000 converts in 36 years. Obviously, you must be doing something right. However, is it possible that you might be doing something wrong? That's good. Says Don Boy says, I'm a Baptist author, columnist, former writer of columns for USA Today, and a former member of the Indiana House of Representatives. I write for these things. I know you're far busier than I am, but I want to ask you these questions to Rick Warren. Are you ready? Here you go. Do you address the Islamic Society of North America? Did you address it? And did you chide them for their support of Muslim terrorists? He's asking, Rick Warren, when you stood before the Muslims, did you tell them the truth? Number two, have you ever publicly demanded or even suggested that Muslims repudiate Sharia and jihad, sexual mutilation of girls, honor killings for being too non-Muslim, or killing of those who reject Islam and trust Christ, etc.? You ever done that publicly, Rick? Three, your photo hugging Muslim Cat Stevens is famous, but isn't it dangerous to not make clear that you do not support his extreme position on the threat to kill Salman Rushdie and his statement, I'm praying to Allah to give us victory over the Kuffar? Do you want a Muslim victory over non-Muslims, Rick? Was it wise to share the platform with Muslim extremists without any rebuke to them and no explanation to the public of your disapproval of their false teachings? There would be a similar issue with your hugging Elton John. in your statement about the kiss heard around the world. Isn't that too frivolous in giving aid and comfort to homosexuals when they demand their right to be accepted regardless of their perverse lifestyle? You guys liking Don, boys? Hey, Rick, what's going on? Have you stated publicly that the homosexual lifestyle is evil and should be eschewed? Do you believe that Mormonism is a part of Christianity? Would you share the platform with KKK leaders? Do you think the apostles would have remained quiet about the gospel of Christ if they spoke to Jewish or Muslim groups? Stephen was not concerned with building bridges when he told the Pharisees that Christ was their only hope. In fact, he declared, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers, so do you." Do you ever think it's appropriate to preach the same thing today? Is it wise to favorably mention Roman Catholic mystics without disclaimers? Do you think the Reformation was a mistake? Are you trying to reverse it with your close association with the Pope and other Roman Catholic leaders? This guy's going for the juggler, isn't he? Do you ever obey Titus 2:15, which says, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority"? Paul the Apostle commanded, "Come out from among them." When is it right to follow that command? And how do you respond to your incorrect claim that your book is the best-selling nonfiction hardback book in history? I heard you say that twice, and you were quoted saying it in an interview. "I always own up to my mistakes," you said. Well, here's your chance. Please provide proof of what you said about that book. But Rick, like most evangelicals, you seem to want a religion that's brief, bright, and brotherly, but ended up with one that is meek, mild, and motherly. That always results in a flawed message, method, and maybe motive. So sad. Amen, Don, boys. Amen, Don. Cool. I got 6 minutes left. I want to finish you on a high note. Is it okay if we finish on a high note today? Because I'm just getting started. Daily Coast knows who we are. Right Wing Watch knows who we are. Secret Service probably going to come knocking on my door because they said I've threatened Obama. They know who we are. We're engaged in a war. What was it Abraham Lincoln said? "Now we're engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We've met on a great battlefield of that war. We've come to dedicate a portion of this field for those who here gave their lives that nation might live, and it's altogether fitting and proper that we shall do so." So I want to encourage you today with this little pump me up video entitled, what the heck is the name of it? It doesn't even matter. Stand up and fight. It's 6 minutes here. Here we go. Why do we fall?
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Pain is temporary. It may last for a minute, or an hour, or a day, or even a year. But eventually, it will subside, and something else will take its place. If I quit, however, it will last forever.
The margin for error is so small. I mean, one half a step too late or too early, and you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us. They're in every break of the game, every minute, every second.
You got a dream, you You got to protect it. People can't do something themselves. They want to tell you you can't do it. You want something, go get it. Period.
Don't be afraid to fail. You can't always win, but don't be afraid of making decisions.
You have to believe that something different can happen. He who says he can and he who says he can't are both usually right.
That most of you say you want to be successful, but you don't want it bad. You just kind of want it. You don't want it badder than you want a party. You don't want it as much as you want to be cool. Most of you don't want success as much as you want to sleep.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us.
You have to dig deep down, and ask yourselves, who do you want to be? Figuring out for yourselves what makes you happy, no matter how crazy it may sound to the people.
Make a choice, right? You just decide what it's going to be, who you're going to be, how you're going to do it. Just decide.
Why not? Why can't I be the MVP of the league? Why can't I be the best player in the league? I don't see why. Why? Why can't I do that?
What did you say to the kid? It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. Get up. Get up.
Get up. And don't ever give up.
We can stay here, get the shit kicked out of us, or we can fight our way back. Into the light. We can climb out of hell. One inch at a time.
To be able at any moment to sacrifice what you are for what you will become. Most of you won't be successful because when you're studying and you get tired, you quit. I don't do well in math. You're right. You ain't never studied. I'm not good in writing because you have never written before.
Talent you have naturally. Skill is only developed by hours and hours and hours of beating on your craft.
If you are not making someone else's life better, then you're wasting your time.
Don't cry to give up. Cry to keep going. Don't cry to quit. You already in pain. You already hurt. Get a reward from it.
Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not point the finger saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
Because every day is a new day. Every moment is a new moment. So now you got to go out and show them that I'm a different creature now.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
The 17th chapter of St. Luke, it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure.
Now, what are you going to do?
Because limits, like fears, are often just an illusion.
Why do we fail? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you think you can, or if you think you can't, you're probably right. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of us, a rich. I think it's time we climbed up out of hell. unleash the Spirit of God within us and reclaim what the Lord promised us in Psalm 2 he was going to give to us. He was going to give the heathen as our inheritance. God bless the name of Jesus Christ. We'll see you all tomorrow.